Well, good morning once again, everybody. I want to greet you all and welcome you to our next service in the name of Jesus Christ. It's always interesting, how the Lord leads me to scriptures and what to prepare for today. And I often wonder where that's going to go, and is it something deep or is it something simple that we need to hear? And so, I'm always questioning and praying, God, if He'd lead me in that direction and where it is. And I always find it very interesting how He leads my thoughts. And something I thought would be complicated is actually a very simple thought. And maybe it's something we just need to be reminded of this day. But the thought started out, Gordon had sent me an email from Phoenix, and he had sent me a very interesting one, a YouTube clip, and I'll pass that along to you. And it was interesting. It was on DNA versus the Book of Mormon. And I won't be able to remember parts of it that I wanted to prepare for another service. But it was interesting. This is something that just came out, and part of it was based on the fact that a lot of the, I'm going to get this mixed up, but there are markers within DNA, and there are these four markers, I believe, that are found within Asians that they find within what we would refer to as Native American peoples, especially down into Mexico and into Central America. And they found these markers, and so that, you know, they were proving against the Book of Mormon and its validity, because there was no traces of a Jewish marker within the DNA. And I'm going to get all mixed up on it, so I'm not going to go into detail of it. I haven't studied it. But what was interesting about this clip was that it just very, very recently that they have found a fifth DNA marker. And this DNA marker they find in the Algonquins, and which they come out through mostly all of the tribes that we find scattered in the U.S. And they match with that of people of Jewish descent. And it's just very, very interesting. And I was reading it, and I need to do more in-depth study into it. But the focus that kind of came out of that was this new evidence. And I began to see some of the other, you know, when you pull up a YouTube clip, there's all the other ones that'll come up on the side. And I began to click, and I began to click and look on other ones, and I began to see where people, things against the Book of Mormon. But then I began to find ones, you know, where people, they can't believe in God, and they have a challenge with it because there is no evidence. There is no proof of that. And what is that word? What is that word that we live by? We live by this word called faith. And there is a major challenge with a lot of people today, as we know, that they need evidence, they need proof, you know, and I think it's something as we as human beings, and I'll touch on it later, you know, we need proof of everything in order to believe it. And God has this thing called faith, and how He's created mankind and earth, and how we're to live, and we're to live by this thing called faith. And I'll touch on that. And it's interesting, you know, how I'm reading that YouTube clip, and then I went to I was checking my email, and up came a happy birthday Facebook thing. And I usually, when I get that notification, I go and write happy birthday to that person on their page. And so I went to do that, and I can't remember, it was one of the young Sedlec boys, it was his birthday, and I went and did that. And I saw right there that there was on his page this legend. And I'm just going to read it to you, and it's called, it's When Cherokee Indian Boys Become a Man. And I just want to show you how they're going to tie in, because I want to touch on faith today. It says, "Do you know the legend of the Cherokee Indian's youth rite of passage? His father takes him into the forest, blindfolds him, and leaves him alone. He is required to sit on a stump the whole night and not remove the blindfold until the rays of the morning sun shine through it. He cannot cry out for help to anyone. Once he survives the night, he is a man. He cannot tell the other boys of this experience because each lad must come into manhood on his own. The boy is naturally terrified. He can hear all kinds of noises. Wild beasts must surely be all around him. Maybe even some human might do him harm. The wind blew the grass and the earth and shook his stump, But he sat stoically, never removing the blindfold. It would be the only way he could become a man. Finally, after a horrific night, the son appeared and he removed his blindfold. It was then that he discovered his father sitting on the stump next to him. He had been at watch the entire night, protecting his son from harm. We too are never alone, even when we don't know it. Our Heavenly Father is watching over us, sitting on the stump beside us. When trouble comes, all we have to do is reach out to him. The moral of this story is just because you can't see God doesn't mean he is not there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And when I read this and immediately to my mind, you know, just became that I need to talk about faith today. Just in its simpleness and how it's a challenge for us. Even though we might say we're extremely faithful, I know that we all have moments of challenges in our life, challenges throughout the day within our faith. And, you know, we just sang it in the in our songbook, in the song, He Leadeth Me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And I know that's the desire of our hearts, is that we would be faithful followers. Well, this morning I want to just read some scriptures, just as Nephi did. You know, as we read this morning, I found that interesting in chapter 6 of 1 Nephi, verse 5, he says, For I did liken all scripture unto us, that it might be for our profit and for our and learning. And I want to do the same today. I want to liken some scriptures that I read that happened to those of old, but how we can liken them to our day and how it can be for our profit and how it can be for our learning. I want to turn in Hebrews, and I want to read about faith in chapter 11. I know it's a familiar area we turn to regarding faith, and I want to do it, and it speaks of those of old, and it gives some examples of their faith that they had. Chapter 11, starting right in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself conceived strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promise. Therefore sprang even as one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. And I want to just tie into that a reading over in the Book of Mormon to touch on those in the Book of Mormon from way back and how some examples there. And I want to turn in Ether chapter 5. Ether 5, 17 and through 19. Sorry, I didn't have a page number today. 17 through 19 on page 747. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death. And they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore they first believed in the Son of God. And there were many whose faith was so exceedingly strong, even before Christ came, which could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad. So I want to remind us this morning As it said in verse 6 here, back in Hebrews, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And our responsibility that we have is to have faith. And faith, it says, is the substance of things hoped for evidence of things not seen. You know, and if I look it up in the dictionary, it says it's a belief that is not based on proof. It is not based on proof. And here we have examples of those that took action by faith. I want to turn in Alma in the 16th chapter. And I want to start to talk a little bit more about our faith. I want to give some different examples this morning, maybe examples that we don't really realize that's us taking our faith, but it is. Alma 16, verse 143, on page 422. It says, and now as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. You know, I just read to you in Hebrews and in Ether those that had this exceedingly great faith, and they took action, not by evidence, but by things that they had hoped for. And I too, I believe that we're faithful. But I again think that, you know, sometimes I can't compare myself to a Noah, and to the great faith that he had, and to being a man of God, and it's challenging for me to do that. And I think that we have our faith challenged daily, and as humans, we fight for this evidence, right, that I was mentioning in the beginning, and they're always fighting for evidence constantly, right? If we turn on TV or Facebook or any media outlet, we'll see that. And as Christians, our God is always under constant attack because he can't be seen. And there is no evidence, if you will, that he exists. And I know we could talk about that, but they will insist that there's no evidence. You know, he doesn't appear to us today. We can't physically see him. And we know in turn that means that we are under attack, and our belief and our faith is what's under attack. And I think sometimes, too, we even find ourselves struggling. You know, God, I don't know if you're there on the stump next to me. And we struggle as well, believing in what we cannot see. And I know you might say to me, Brandon, I believe, I have faith, and I know that we all do. But, you know, I want us to, the analogy is that boy that's sitting on the stump, I think, is the same for us in life. You know, if we find ourselves like that boy in the middle of the woods, at night, in the thick of it, you know, could you imagine, how many of you think you'd be able to do just that? Go and put a blindfold on and sit on a stump throughout the night. You know, just imagine the worry that we would have, the fear that we would have. You know, we would be very, very fearful of that. And I think the same applies to us, that, you know, we're sitting on a stump, we're going through life, and we know that, you know, our God is there on the stump next to us, but yet there are the noises, there is the darkness, there is the fear that comes over you when you can't see him, when he's, you know, we can't physically touch him. And we struggle with that. Our faith gets shaken. And we have blips, if you will, in our consistency, is what I wrote down. And, you know, when I think about faith, I think about the word consistent, that we have to be consistent in our faith. But I think we get blips. I think there's times, again, when we're sitting on the stump and I know my God is right next to me, but I hear a noise and it scares me, or I feel the wind come up, and I feel that's, you know, I feel a trial coming on, or a temptation, and we have these blips within our faith. We have blips in our consistency of our faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy talks about a race that we run. And I'm sorry, let me make sure I got this. Paul is writing here, and he says, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, this is what we desire. This is the goal. This is why we find ourselves meeting today. It's why we choose to walk the best path that we can each day. It's why we try to refuse the temptations that are out there and live as righteous a life that we can. We are fighting the good fight. We desire to finish our course and have kept the faith so that we can receive that crown of righteousness. So I find that we need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded to remain faithful, to be able to believe in what we can't see, to be able to believe that what God has commanded to be written, that this crown of righteousness will be there at the end. I think that life too is like a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. It's why our scriptures talk so much about enduring, that we need to constantly endure and maintain. I want to turn over into Acts, and I want to read about Peter. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and starting right at verse 1. Now about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four cornions of soldiers to keep him, and attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You know, I realize an angel came to Peter, and he had physically had rescued him from prison, and smote him, woke him up, made him put his clothes on, and the guards were asleep or whatever, and was just allowed to walk out of prison the day that Herod was going to bring him forth and to kill him. And that's not the part, though, I want to focus in on. I want to focus in on two verses, verse 5 and verse 12, the last one. And verse 5 said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, and in 12, when he was freed and he came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, it says, many were gathered together in prayer. The question I have for us today is, how is our prayer life? You know, God is on that stump next to us. He can hear us. He can listen to us. We need to be praying without ceasing, right, all the day long. Where is our faith? Where are we? Are we relying upon him with our trials we go through, with work, with school, with whatever it might be, with whatever we're doing? Are we going to him in the first place? I know that it's a challenge for me and that I forget. I forget to call upon my God. I forget to have that faith in him that he will help me through those things and those challenges that I have. Matthew chapter 10, I want to read three different areas in there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And I'm trying to give you some different examples today, and I'm trying to have some different scriptures. The one I just gave to you is just a different way for us to look at our faith and how we need to remain faithful in our walk and daily the challenge that we have in being faithful. Matthew 10:16-20. Jesus speaking says, "Behold, I send you," and he's speaking to his 12. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and against the Gentiles. But when they deliver you, take no thought or how ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." You know, where is our faith, if you will, in practicing what we hear? You know, we hear, do we fear, or are we able to go out there just as, you know, just as the 12 were sent? You know, I believe that God, he sends us the same. He sends us to go out and to be an example. He sends us to go out and to tell others the hope that's within us. Is there fear that we have? You know, verse 22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." You know, I think this is our challenge for us. We fight that challenge, if you will, of being accepted and being liked by those around us daily. So we really don't sometimes maybe desire to follow God's commandments to a T, but rather we want to bend them a little because we want to, we fight that challenge of being accepted because we know we might offend if we were to truly hold true to God's word. Few verses down, verse 31 and 32 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You know, God knows who we are. He knows our names. He knows our challenges. He knows our fears. He knows the areas of our life that temptation just grabs hold of us and can shake us to our very center. It says that he even knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. We have to have faith, brothers and sisters. He's sitting right there on that stump watching over us. He is right there. Wanted to just read a little short story here. It's called Thieving Money. It says, "A 12-year-old member of the church I pastor recently left a $5 bill on my desk with a note that read, 'I have my thieving money,' along with her signature. I couldn't figure out what she meant. Had she stolen the money she was now returning? When I saw the girl's father the next Sunday, I mentioned the money and note and asked if he could tell me what she meant. With no hesitation, he said it was her tithe. She obviously had misspelled tithing. As I thought about the misspelling, I realized that for those who do not tithe, they really do have a stash of thieving money. For as the Bible suggests, one who refuses to tithe is stealing from God." And I wanted to tie into that in Mark chapter 12 and then talk on it a little bit. Mark 12:41. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And she called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living.'" My question I have for us is, are we faithful in giving to the Lord what is His? You know, it's our responsibility. It is our choice to do that. That is a choice that we can make. We can make a choice to give or not to give. You know, and the reminder I want to give is, are we giving? Are we faithful in our giving to the Lord? And I want to remind us, you know, here's this woman, and this is Jesus speaking here. You know, he's saying that this woman, she didn't give of her abundance. She didn't have any. She gave all that she had. You know, and she gave in less than they were giving in, but it says Jesus said she gave in all that she had. We know that it's a responsibility. Are we being faithful in giving the Lord what is His? back into Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, just one verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, action is necessary. Just like we get up this morning, we get up on a Sunday morning where I'm sure most of us could have easily slept in and stayed warm on a cold day like today in our blankets. But instead, we got up, we showered, we put on our nice clothes, and we come to the house of the Lord. We come to sing. We come to pray, to study, to listen to the Word. We come to love each other. And I think that this is, you know, this is just a portion, if you will, of denying ourselves and taking up our cross. But our Monday through our Saturday needs to reflect denying ourselves and taking up our crosses as well. You know, do we turn off the TV? Are we struggling with that, to turn it off and to read our scriptures? Did we get on our knees? Did we give God the thanks? Did we go to God on our knees to ask Him for the help in the things that we're doing? Did we call that brother? Did we call that sister, that stranger that's in need? Proverbs 17:7, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want to repeat that again. You know, when we're told to take up our cross and follow God, you know, and I mentioned from prayer to our study life, but what about, you know, what we're doing for our friends, our brothers and our sisters? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, when we think of what Jesus Christ brought, we think about a law of love, right? He did away with that Mosaic law, and He brought a law of love, a love your brother as yourself. And we were born for each other. We were created for each other, to be there for each other when the challenges come, when adversity comes, as this scripture says in Proverbs. When adversity strikes, when those challenges come, we are to be there for one another. I want to tie in one other scripture with that, Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10, and 11. And I'll just read them to you off my sheet here. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Right? Being faithful again is taking action. We have to act expecting nothing in return, and we're there for each other. We're there for our friends. We're even there for a stranger. It's what God expects from us. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. We have to have faith and take that action. I want to read another little short story to you here. And it's called I Knew You Would Come. Jim and Philip did everything together when they were kids. They even went to high school and college together. After college, they joined the Marines together. They were both sent to Germany, where they fought side by side in one of history's ugliest wars. During a fierce battle, they were given the command to retreat. As the men were running back, Jim noticed that Philip hadn't returned with the others. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go after his friend, but the officer forbade the request, saying it would be suicide. Jim disobeyed and went after Philip. His heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out for Philip. A short time later, his platoon saw him hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body in his arms. The commanding officer shouted at Jim for his outrageous risk. "Your friend is dead," he said. "There was nothing you could do." "No, sir," Jim replied. "I got there just in time before Philip died." He said, "I knew you would come." You know, we are all sitting on the stump, if you will, with the blindfold on. But we can sit side by side, and we can do it together. God has created us for one another. I know there's a scripture, I don't know where it is exactly, but he says, you know, greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his brother. In Isaiah chapter 40, I know this is a few familiar verses. I read them often. I still want to read them this morning. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, we have to be patient. We have to remain faithful and not be worried and not running to and fro when evidence doesn't, you know, make itself known. That's what faith is all about. We have to be able to remain faithful and believing what we can't see, taking action for the words that are before us. James 4:10, I just want to tie into this. You know, I think that when we're patient and remaining faithful, we have to be humble. And James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, when I think about what usually gets in the way of believing, you know, that God is there. You know, when I know we're on the blindfold and we're sitting on the stump, and what usually gets in the way of us remembering that our God is there, you know, we're sitting on that stump, we're fearful and we're scared and we worry, and we start to get our hands up and our arms up, and we're ready to defend, and we listen for the sounds to the left and to the right, and we try to go at it ourselves. We get prideful. And what usually gets in the way of us believing that God is there is usually ourselves. We forget. We can't comprehend. We're tempted. We're giving in. We don't make it a priority. We struggle with having faith to know that God is sitting right there on that stump next to us. He's ready to defend us. He's ready to catch us if we fall off. He's ready to help us. He's ready in whatever that need might be. I want to close this morning by reading to you in the book of Psalm 90. I'd like to read to you Psalm 91. And I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I pray this morning that we've gained a little bit more faith this day, that our consistency, if you will, and I want you to think of that word. Consistency is faith, and it's a challenge we have to remain consistent. I pray that we're strengthened today from that. You know, sometimes our guard is up, and there's nothing that can break through that can cause any type of doubt or discouragement. You know, fear can't get through, a trial can't get through, and other times we're weak, we're tired, and I think sometimes we question, and we question, are you there? You know, I want us to remember that life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We have to endure. We have to trust in God. As these verses I just said to you, we have to trust in him. He loves us. His angels are watching over us. He is, if you will, sitting on that stump next to us, watching over us.